Take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6 and verse 38. And I want you to listen to what Jesus had to say concerning the consuming passion of his life. John chapter 6, beginning with verse 38. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. In John 4:34, the Bible records these words of Jesus. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Now, my friend, I ask you this. Is that what your life is all about today? Are you consumed by a burning desire, that is, to discover and to do God's will? Do you wake up in the morning and begin the day by thinking, I wonder how the Lord is going to use me today? Is your first prayer, Lord, I give you my life. Here it is. So take me wherever you want me to go today and do through my life whatever you want to do today. Now, Dr. Robert Jeffress, and he's the pastor of First Baptist Church of Dallas. I mentioned him in the message last week. He says this about the way most people live. While few of us are theological atheists, he said, we often live as practical atheists. We formulate our goals, we expend our resources, and we confront all dilemmas as if there was no God in heaven who might want to have a say in our affairs. To every Christian here this morning, to every Christian watching this message, wherever you are, I say this, God definitely wants to have a say in your affairs and in mine. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying when he wrote these words. For we, every Christian, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Amplified translates Ephesians 2:10 this way, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, which God planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. Now, how humbling it is to realize that holy God loves all of us so much that he not only provided a way for us to be saved from sin, but he laid out an individual plan for each one of our lives. The only people who are compelled to wander in confusion on this Sunday morning are those who do not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They grope about in spiritual darkness. They try to make some kind of sense of the changing winds of circumstance. But that's not so for those of us who belong to the Lord. We're not destined to wander in the wasteland of confusion, trying to figure out who we are and where we're to go and why we are here. Now, I must say again what I've already said a number of times during this brief series of messages on knowing God's will. Our Lord has a plan for our lives. It is a specific plan. It is a wonderful plan. And it is the very best plan. And we can choose to live according to that plan. In John chapter 10, you know the words of the Good Shepherd, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." The "they" that Jesus was talking about are all of us who are His sheep. And His sheep are those of us who trusted in Him as Lord and Savior. Now, we hear His voice as He speaks to us in our hearts. We follow His leadership. And as we do, we live in victory. The problem that confronts all of us as believers, all of us who truly desire to walk with the Lord, how can we know the specifics of His will? It's not enough to say that God has a unique plan for our lives. The question is, how do we get in on it? Well, I've already shared with you several means we can use in discovering God's will for our lives. To begin with, we must search the Scriptures. We must get in the Word of God. And then again, we must pray. We must pray for the wisdom to know what is God's will and what is not God's will. And we also must be open to special revelation, as I shared. We must realize that there are times when the Lord reveals His will through some supernatural means, like a dream or a vision or an angelic visitation, or even speaking personally if He desires to do so. In order to find God's will for our lives, to discover that will, we must be willing to seek wise counsel. That means that we must be careful that we seek counsel from those who are mature in the Lord. And yet, we must never accept the advice of others blindly. We must remember that people can be wrong with respect to what they think the Lord's will is for us. All counsel we receive must square with the Bible, with the Word of God, or it should be rejected immediately. To know God's will for our lives, we must also take circumstances into consideration. We must be alert to open doors and closed doors. We must also be open to signs the Lord might give us to indicate what we are to do, what pathway we are to take. But remember this, we are never to seek signs. We are to seek the Lord. And remember what I said last week about putting out a fleece. Be careful, because you can be fleeced by a fleece. Now, before I move on to some other matters that are important in knowing God's will, the how of knowing His will, let me point out, God only reveals what we need to know. Let me say that again. God only reveals what we need to know. I guess we've all wondered at one time or another, well, why doesn't God just go ahead and reveal His entire plan for our lives in one flash of revelation? It could be that God knows if we knew it all, we'd be paralyzed with fear. Looking back over my past, I will tell you that I am happy that God didn't show me every trouble and every disappointment I would have to endure to get where I am now. Thank goodness we only have to live one day at a time. You can't live yesterday, it's gone. You can't live tomorrow, it hasn't come. All you can do is to live today. Jesus said this, "Each day has enough trouble of its own." And you know that's true. Now let's rejoice in the fact that the Lord leads us only one step at a time. And the next step, that step is the one that He wants us to take. Now, there's another good reason why God doesn't reveal to us the entirety of His plan for our lives. Well, if we knew it all, we would be more prone to depend on ourselves rather than depending on the Lord. Now, when we drive in a thick fog, and we've had some fog in this area recently, when we drive in a thick fog, we know that our vision is limited. So we drive very cautiously. That is, if we have good sense, we drive very cautiously. And God doesn't want us speeding through life revved up with self-sufficiency. God wants to be in charge. And He wants us to slow down and get our direction from Him. Now, having said that, let me share with you several other matters and several other means we can utilize in discovering God's will and God's plan for our lives. For one thing, we can take our own personal desires into consideration. I read about a Christian in St. Louis. He was a house painter. Slumped down in a chair with a pastor across from him. He went in for some counseling. And he complained about having to paint houses. He hated his job. The pastor said to him, "If God rolled out the red carpet and said you could have any job you wanted, what would it be?" The man shot back, "I'd like to be an English teacher." The pastor responded, "Why don't you pursue a teaching vocation with all the passion and all the energy you can muster?" The pastor described the man's reply as unforgettable. He said, "I know that God doesn't want me teaching. I'd enjoy the experience too much. And the affirmation of the students would be more than I could handle." He then told the pastor that he was sure that God wanted him to paint houses because he thoroughly disliked doing it. Now, that may be an extreme example. And then again, it may not be. I mean, there is a pattern of thinking present in too many Christians' lives that says, in effect, God doesn't want me to do what I really enjoy doing. One ministry put out a card with this message on it: God's way, exactly the opposite of my natural inclinations. Folks, is that the way it really is when it comes to knowing and doing the will of God in our lives? Do the desires we have within us, do they have any place at all in discovering God's will? The first thing that has to be said before we move on about discovering God's will through our personal desires is this. Let's turn to the third chapter of Romans in verse 10. Romans chapter 3. And verse 10. And let me share with you what Paul wrote. The first thing we have to realize is our inner desires were corrupted by sin in our lives. Romans 3:10. As it is written, "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one." Now, if that was the end of the matter, you know what conclusion we'd have to reach? We must always deny and reject our inner desires. But for those of us who are Christians, Jesus came. And through trusting in Him as Lord and Savior, our inner desires have been transformed. Therefore, if any person be in Christ, that person is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So, whatever you do, some people say you've got to deny your inner desires. But because Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, our inner desires have been transformed. Christian, before we met Jesus, our personal desires were opposed to doing God's will. But now, as we live in submission to the Lordship of Christ, and as we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, our desires are aligned with the will of God. And that means that God can direct us in the way He wants us to go through our transformed desires. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. I want you to see what Paul wrote to the Christians in the city of Ephesus, in that church. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but how much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, listen to this. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now, the word works in this verse is from the Greek word energo, E-N-E-R-G-O. Can you guess what word we get from that in the English? It's energy. And so what Paul was saying, God energizes all of us who are Christians by giving us both the desire and the ability to accomplish His will. So it should be obvious that many times our desires come from God. He puts His desires within us, and what we have to do is choose to walk in them. Now, there are two extremes that must be avoided regarding our personal desires. I've already alluded to them, but let me state them more emphatically. Number one, we must resist the idea that there is no role for our personal desires as Christians. And number two, we must not come to the point that we rely on our personal desires more than we should. We must reject the teaching that says, knowing God's will and doing God's will is simple. Just love Him and do whatever you please. No, that's not the way it operates. In his book on knowing God's will, M. Blaine Smith, who's with the Lord now, in that book, he reminded us that our personal desires must always be weighed. Now, what do you mean by that, preacher? I mean they must be weighed, that is, against the truth of God's Word. If our desires are not in line with the Word, then I can tell you this, they are not in line with God's will. Of course, all of us who know the Lord ought to continually pray that His desires for our lives will be our desires for our lives. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. You know what that means and why it's true? It's true because as we love the Lord and submit to His will for our lives, He transforms our inner desires. And then He births them into reality because they become His desires. He is glorified and we are blessed. Now, in the next place, the how of knowing God's will involves the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 18, that is 8:14, Paul wrote these words, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You want to know if you're a Christian or not? You are led by the Spirit of God if you're truly a child of God, knowing Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. That's what this verse says. Now, there are those times when we just know that we know what to do in a given situation. Although there are those who want to downplay the inner guidance of the Holy Spirit, I am certainly not one of them. I believe that the Holy Spirit can and does intervene time to time and lead us directly as Christians when we are uncertain about which pathway to take. The book of Acts tells us this. Paul, Silas, and Timothy were on a missionary journey. And they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia. But then the Bible says they were forbidden. Did you hear that? They were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. Now, I am convinced that the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul's heart and said to him, "This is not the way you are to proceed." So, by what the Word says, they came to Troas. And let me remind you again that God guides every believer step by step. He gives us the guidance we need to take the next step that He wants us to take in order for the realization of His plan in our lives. Here was Paul, Silas, and Timothy ready to go and share the gospel, but no place to go. That is, no place to go until the Lord revealed to Paul what they were to do next. Paul was asleep one night and had a vision. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia. We need help." Now, when we Christians refer to the inner leading of the Holy Spirit, we often say, "God spoke to my heart." And that's exactly what takes place sometimes. God literally speaks to our hearts, not with an audible voice, but with the voice of the Holy Spirit who impresses us concerning what we are to do. Now, I must tell you, I get concerned about some people I've run across who keep saying, "God told me to do this. God told me to do this. God told me to do this. God told me to do this." Well, you would think they carry on a running conversation with God. Although we're to be led by the Holy Spirit, we have already discovered that the Lord uses a variety of ways to communicate His will to us. Many believers equate the leadership of the Holy Spirit with inner feelings. And I believe that there are definite times when we just feel that we're to make a certain decision, go a certain way in the Lord, and the feeling is the result of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. However, don't ever give feelings more importance than they deserve. M. Blaine Smith said, "But we must see that for the most part, our feelings are so diverse and so changeable that it would be unreasonable to expect them to be the sole barometer of God's will." Well, there have been those times across my life when I have felt that I should do something. And you know what? I'm sure glad I didn't do it. And I know that that circumstance in my life has been the circumstance in your lives too. All of us have been there. We felt like we ought to take a certain step, but we didn't do it. And then we realized, good for us, because we certainly weren't supposed to do it. Now, if you ever have a question about the validity of a particular instance of the leadership and the guidance of the Holy Spirit in your life, let me make a suggestion to you. Pray like this: "Lord, if that's You really speaking, could You speak a little louder? I just want to be sure that I'm hearing from You, and I'm not allowing my mind to play tricks on me." One other point must be made about discovering God's will through the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. My friend, to be led by the Spirit daily, you must walk in the Spirit daily. Now, carnal believers who allow self, the old flesh, to dominate their lives, they make many mistakes when it comes to knowing and doing God's will. They may think they know His will, and they may think they're doing His will, when in fact they're not even close. The reason that is true is because they're living on the basis of fleshly guidance rather than on the basis of spiritual guidance. and they can't discern the difference. Christian, what I want you to understand is that being led by the Holy Spirit involves living under the lordship of Jesus Christ rather than under the domination of the self-life. Carnal believers invariably walk according to the dictates of the flesh. Spiritual believers invariably walk according to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Now, when it comes to knowing the how of God's will, there's another vital issue that we have to address. What about the place of prophetic pronouncements knowing God's will in the life of a believer? What does that have to do with knowing God's will? Somebody makes a prophetic pronouncement over some Christian's life. And speaking prophetically about believers and their lives has become a common practice in some Christian circles. Now, although I'm not going to say that God can't reveal His will through a prophecy spoken to another believer, I do agree with those who say that the New Testament does not regard personal guidance as a legitimate function of prophecy. When we study the Word of God, we don't find anyone in the Word who is gifted to call out some individual from the audience and then to prophesy over that person, telling them how specifically and how greatly God is going to use them. You know what? I've seen believers who've been crushed because they were told, you're going to be a great evangelist. You're going to be a wonderful missionary. And it didn't come to pass. And so they become confused, completely confused about their relationship with God and His will for their lives. There was a young woman whose name was Helen. She was a freshman in college. She trusted in Jesus as her Lord and Savior and started attending a church. There was an older lady in that church, an older woman. Her name was Margaret. One day Margaret came to Helen and said this, I have received a revelation from God concerning your future. You are going to marry a young man in our church whose name is Bill. Now Helen barely knew Bill, and she didn't have any romantic feelings for him at all. Even though she was bewildered by Margaret's prophecy, she felt that it would be irreverent to question it. So she opened herself up to building a relationship with Bill. First, they became friends. Then they started dating. During her sophomore year, Bill asked Helen to marry him. By now, Helen's affection for Bill had deepened. So she accepted his proposal. However, it was soon after, not that long, that Bill's feelings for Helen changed. He called off their engagement. You know what he did? He married someone else. And that literally caused Helen to fall apart. I mean, she fell into pieces. And what a terrible time. And questions abounded. She was so confused. Had Margaret deceived her? Had God forsaken her because of some wrong in her life? Or did God simply play a cruel joke on her and let her down? After 2 years of horrible depression over the incident, as a college senior, Helen finally was able to get beyond what had happened to her. The pastor who related this story drew this conclusion of Helen's experience with a so-called prophecy, which was nothing but false. When you receive a prophecy to do something, he said, that you haven't contemplated doing, especially if it is diametrically opposed to what you're inclined to do, the effect can be traumatic. And that's putting it mildly, folks. If some believer prophesies over you, my friend, concerning God's will for your life, Remember that the prophecy may be offered lovingly and with the best intentions. But don't dare take what is being said as God's will written in stone. Appreciate the person who's shown an interest in your life, but then do this. Make a beeline to the Lord as quickly as you can and ask Him, Lord, would you please confirm to me what I have heard as your will? And if no confirmation comes, dump the prophecy and stay with the Lord and move on in His will. Now, as you think about your future, you don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what momentous decisions that you will be compelled to make. You don't know what obstacles are going to rise up before you. But you can know this if you are a Christian. God knows everything. He knows everything that needs to be known. And He has a plan for your life. And let me tell you about His plan for your life. No one is able to nullify it. For no one is above the Lord God Almighty who reigneth. And as you take one step after another step, as you take the steps along the pathway of life, you're never going to walk alone. Because God's promise to you as a believer is this: I will never leave you or forsake you. So you can count on the Lord. As I've often said, you can't count on other people all the time, you know. But you can count on the Lord all the time. Because He's not going to leave you or forsake you. Now, one fact is absolutely certain. Not only does the Lord reveal His will to those of us who are Christians, but He empowers us to do His will. The how of knowing God's will. My friend, get excited about discovering God's glorious plan for your life. And as I said last Sunday, you can be sure that it's not God's will for you to perish eternally. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I ask you this, whether you're in the auditorium or viewing this message on Facebook or YouTube, have you believed in Jesus Christ? Have you trusted in Him? You must receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior before it's too late. And one of these days, maybe sooner than we think, it will be too late. Let's stand together and bow our heads in prayer. And I want to help you to receive Christ if you've never done so. Young person, adult, whether you're here or viewing this message, just pray this simple prayer with me quietly. This is just between you and God at this point. Pray these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. I have sinned in the sight of Holy God many, many times across the pathway of my life. But right here, right now, Jesus, I do repent. I turn away from sin and I turn to You. And Jesus, I open the door to my heart. Jesus, come in to my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Forgive me for all of my sins. And Jesus, from this day forth, by Your grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to live for You as the Lord of my life. Thank You, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. Thank You, Jesus, for paying the penalty for all of my sins. Thank You, Jesus, for coming into my heart and writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I am now yours, and you are now mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to say to those of you who are viewing this message and you prayed that prayer, wherever you are, you go find a Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church. And the first act of obedience for a new Christian is to follow the Lord in baptism, which symbolizes the death to the old life and the resurrection of the new life in Christ. I'm going to make my way down for those of you here in the auditorium, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to make the decision that you ought to make. Every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you, and I believe that Jesus just came into my heart. Would you step out and walk up here right now and let me have a word of prayer with you about the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life? Your membership may be in another church. The Holy Spirit has said, this is where I want you to serve the Lord. We accept those who come by letter or by statement of faith in Christ. You come right now. Do what God would have you do as our invitation. Wherever He leads, I'll go.